It's New Year, and I don't know, has anybody made any new... I'm not going to ask you what they are, but has anybody made any New Year's resolutions? Anybody going to be brave enough to say that they have even... One person. Well done, Tom. A couple of other people. Fantastic. Okay, top 10 New Year's resolutions. I will give up chocolate totally, 100%, completely, honestly, I will. Okay. I will try to figure out why I really need 9 email addresses. I will talk to my wife rather than sending emails to her. I will spend less than 1 hour a day on the internet. This, of course, will be hard to estimate since I'm not a clock watcher. I will read the manual as soon as I can find it. I will think of a password other than password. I will not tell the same story at every get-together. I won't worry so much. I will cut my hair. I will grow my hair. I will be more imaginative. And my goal for 2020 is to accomplish the goals of 2019, which I should have done in 2018 because I promised them in 2017 and I planned them in 2016. Yeah. Actually, there are people that make New Year's resolutions. So I thought we would just take a quick look at what that... Because actually, New Year's resolutions are great, but they are aspirations, aren't they? That's kind of all that they are. And what we want to be doing is doing what God is telling us to do, not just our own good ideas. Is that right? And to position ourselves where God wants us to be and position ourselves for what he wants us to do as well. So, according to research, 60% of us admit that we make New Year's resolutions, but only 8% of us are successful in achieving them. So this is the good news. So over 90% of us fail in those goals. Are you glad I'm sharing this inspirational, happy stat with you? But you know, all is not lost. There is one thing that every single one of us can do that we can have priority over and that we can have some kind of control over, and that is our calendar and the time that we have. How many of us can feel that our calendar rules us rather than us actually making that calendar work for us? Does that make sense? Sometimes we think we're just so busy, there's so much going on, I can't fit this, I can't pray, I can't read the Bible, I can't spend time with people because my life is just so busy, I've got all of these things in it. But who is the person that is controlling the diary? It's us, isn't it? And so one thing that we can do this coming year is to actually make it a priority to spend time with God. And I've got some statistics for you to go through. It's the one we, you know, every single one of us can do that. And I think that would be, if I had a New Year's resolution, it would be to make sure that I carve out and I prioritize time to spend reading God's word, and not only just reading God's word, but to spend time just in God's presence, being refreshed by him. You know, because we talk about things being life transforming. Those two things, reading the word every day, getting into his presence and being refreshed by him, is truly life transforming. You know, sometimes we spend so much time trying to find this thing that's going to bring inspiration to our lives, or this thing. But those two things that we can make time for, if we prioritize it, will transform your life. The more time I believe that you spend reading the word and in God's presence, is the greater sense of peace that you feel. Greater sense of God's presence with us. And you know, that greater sense of God's presence, of God's peace, brings a sense of boldness, and it just affects every single part of our lives. But you are the one that's setting the agenda, and you're the one that is setting the things in the diary. So I want to encourage you to make that a priority this new year. I think it was Spurgeon, I could be wrong, that said, there are so many of us that are willing to do great things for God, but he said, what about the small acts of obedience? It's funny, isn't it, that we would say, yes, God, I would give everything for you. I'd give my life. I would even go to Hull to serve you. But those small things about just getting up every day, being disciplined, sometimes can be the most hard. But you know what? I think the small acts of obedience are the things that actually make the biggest impact in our lives. The big dramas, wow! The big spectacular things. But the small, insignificant acts of just meeting with God have the biggest influence. So New Year's resolutions. If you determined to spend 12 minutes a day, is there anybody here who could carve out 12 minutes a day or an extra 12 minutes a day? No one has put it up their hand, but every single one of you could. Oh, yes. Okay. So if you carved out 12 minutes a day, you could read the whole Bible in a year. In just 6 minutes a day, you could read the entire New Testament in 6 months. Okay, that was 12 minutes, 6 minutes. So say that we ramped up to 30 minutes a day. Now we're getting radical. 30 minutes a day. If we took time 30 minutes a day to read our Bibles, we could read Ecclesiastes in one day, Romans in 2 days, the Gospel of Mark in 3 days, the book of Genesis in 7 days, the whole of the New Testament in 40 days, and the whole of the Bible in 160 days. If we spent every day 30 minutes reading the word, I haven't got the time. You don't realize the pressures, the things that I have to do, that I have to do. Isn't it great that we've got a new year ahead of us where we can say, actually, I am going to prioritize and press into my relationship with God, because truly that is life transforming. You know, and one of the scariest things is, you know, when you have your iPhone and it tells you about how long you spend on screen time. Have you? And it's scary. You look on there and it's like 5 hours on YouTube. You're like, no. It can't be 5 hours on YouTube. But that app never lies. YouTube, Facebook, emails, or whatever it is, podcasts. It's amazing, isn't it, how we can spend hours. Am I the only one? Come on, guys. You're all looking at me like, have you ever done that? I tell you, it's like nobody will ever look at that page and see how much time I'm spending on my phone. So much time we spend on these apps, yet 12 minutes a day, 30 minutes a day, you can read the Bible in a very short period of time. So I want to encourage you, why don't we, this year, looking forward, we're at the beginning, looking forward, don't just aspire to reading the Bible more and spending time. Why don't we prioritize it? Why don't we say, actually, I'm going to take those 12 minutes, and when the kids are hammering on the door, let me in, just lock that door. Or whatever you need to do to make those 12 minutes happen, or half an hour, or whatever it is. But I tell you, spending time every day reading the Word will pay off countless benefits to you. You'll be a different person. You'll have something to share with you when somebody says, so what have you been reading in the Word? And it's rather than kind of, actually, yeah, let me tell you what I've been reading. It's exciting. Let me share with you. So I want to encourage you, because there is nothing that is going to strengthen us more than pressing in and digging in to the Word of God. And I just believe that God so wants to encourage us. And if you're doing the 12 minutes, up it. Spend more time in the presence of God. You will be so strengthened, but you will also be a blessing and a strength to other people. So let's do something amazing. Are you ready to do something amazing?
Yes.
That is something amazing that you can do, to prioritize meeting with Jesus every day and coming face to face with him, experiencing him, letting him love upon you, letting you communicate and connect with him will be an incredible strength to your life. And God's worth doing that, isn't he? He's an amazing God, and he's worth it. He really is. Now, I want just to talk briefly about God is able. Can you say that?
God is able.
And Danny read a scripture, and there were a few things that were coming out that the Holy Spirit was just stirring us in kind of along the line of this theme. But I don't know what your previous year was like, what 2019 was like. I lost my dad, and others have lost family members. Sad things, difficult things may have happened last year. Many of us went through challenges. Anybody been through some challenges last year? A few people. We've been through challenges, we've been through difficulties, but God has proved himself faithful, hasn't he? Because we're here. We're here serving this faithful God. We can look back and say he's faithful, and we can look forward to say that God will be faithful in the future. So three words. Is God able? Is God able? I want you to ask yourself that question. And don't just say to me, yes, because that's what we do in church. Is God able? Is he able to deal with your life? Is he able to overcome the challenges that you face? As we start a new year, is he able to give you the power, the ability, the discipline, whatever it is that you need? Is he able? And I want to encourage you and say he is able. God is able. God is able. As you stand beginning of this 2019, I believe God wants to stir up in us such a faith that we go into this year and with that we often speak it out. My God is able. Now, when we go out onto the streets and we connect with people of other religions or other beliefs, to say, actually, you believe your philosophy, but we don't follow a philosophy, we follow a relationship. And my God is able. He's able to do above and beyond what we can ask, think, or imagine. And my God is alive. My God is able. And I want you to speak that to your problems and difficulties when you face them, because we surely know that when we go into 2020, there will be challenges and difficulties, because that's what life throws up. But rather than saying, oh my goodness, where's God? Speak to that thing and say, my God is able. He can overcome. Actually, he has overcome for me. He's already won the victory. We're free. We've been singing it today. I am chosen. I am free. And we're only free because Jesus went to the cross. He died, but he rose again to set us free. That's how we can say God is able, because he triumphed over everything, over every enemy, over every principality, over every problem, over every difficulty. He's overcome and he is able. That is the message that we have as Christians. And it's different to other religions and other philosophies and other ways of thinking. It really is. We have something so special in knowing Jesus. And it's amazing when you get out on the streets and when you start to talk to people. People are so messed up. They're, you know, believing in gnomes and all sorts of, you know, nothing wrong with gnomes if anybody likes gnomes. But, you know, it's people, there's some like crazy stuff out there that people are putting their faith and their hope in. But from experience, we can say, my God, our God, he is able. He's able to come through. He will never, ever let us down. He cannot. So the answer to is God able is what? Yes, he is. And I can say that with absolute confidence. God is able. Because that's been my experience, and I know it's your experience as well. I want us to get excited, and I want it. I'd love us to be a people that speak and declare that faith statement more than we do speak negativity and lack and doubt. Yes, I can't see how it's going to work out. It looks impossible, but I believe that God is going to do it. He is able. His word says he is able, and I'm going to believe it. You know, when we have an attitude like that, I believe that we will see God do incredible things. He's just looking for faithful people that will dare to believe what his word says. So are you ready? Now I'm going to just look at a little bit around. So Ephesians 3, 20 and 21. It says, "And now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. Now to him who is what? Able to do immeasurably more." You can go to the next. "To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." So the answer is yes, God is able. Interesting, Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus here, and Paul had been through a lot of stuff. He'd been through a lot of trials. You think you've had a difficult week this week. But he was flogged, he was shipwrecked, he was stoned, he was put in prison. Anybody suffered that this week? No. He went without, he went through all kinds of difficulties. And here he is, he's writing. And I think he was writing out of experience. He was writing out of the lessons that he learned. He was able to write confidently, without hesitation, without any kind of uncertainty. He said, "My God is able." Having been all through that, all that he'd experienced, all that he'd gone through. And, you know, we read that as a story, but you can imagine what it must have been like to actually be imprisoned, to be, you're sent out on a mission to somewhere, and then you have a shipwreck, or you get stoned, or you think, wow, surely I'm doing God's work. God should be protecting me. Yet he did all of those things, and yet he could still say, God is able to do it. And if he can say that, I want to encourage us to stir ourselves that we also can say, yes, God is faithful. God is able. It says that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or think. So the greatest thing that you can imagine, the most wonderful miracle, the most greatest thing that you can imagine, it says there that God is able to do abundantly more than that. How awesome is that? How amazing is that? That's his plan and purpose. I get excited when I read scripture. Like, you don't look very excited this morning. But I get excited when I realize that my biggest dream, my biggest hope, the thing that I just think, wow, that's just completely out there. God says, that's so tiny compared to what I have, the plans that I have for you, the things that I can do, your vision. Well, I want to do, and I can do, and I'm going to do something even greater, because God isn't limited by our small little minds. Isn't God amazing that he can do above and beyond exceedingly? He is able to do above all that we can ask or think. That's an amazing God. The devil keeps coming to us. I'm sure we have the same lies and the same attacks and the same temptations time and time and time again. Many of us, don't we? When he keeps coming and prodding at those weak areas in our lives. And it's the enemy that sows words like, is God able? Will God really come through? I mean, he did last time, but will he come through again for you? Is God really interested in you? Maybe God's forgotten you. Or maybe you're less than somebody else, because those people over there, they're special. But what about you? Doesn't the enemy come and speak those lies to us? And he does it to all. He does it to me. He does it, I'm sure he does it to all of us. Just because I'm an elder and a leader in the church doesn't mean that I don't get attacked and I don't get the problems and the challenges. We all get them. And we all have to stand up and say, I'm going to stand against that lie. I'm going to see it for what it is. I'm going to stand against it. When the enemy comes and sows those seeds, stand up and say, no, God is able. He is able. He's overcome for me. God is able. He's able to do some things through me that I don't even know what he's going to do, but I'm not going to believe those lies. This year, I'm going to move on. I'm going to do things I've never done before. I'm going to step out in faith. I'm going to be obedient to the call of God on my life. And not because I can do anything, not because I'm special, but I'm going to do it because God is able and God is within me. I'm going to do it. And I believe if we stir ourselves up to bring ourselves in line with God's word, that he will do wonderful, wonderful things. So just to quickly, he is able because he has all power and authority. That word able means power, to have power, to be able. There is nobody like our God, is there? In all of heaven and the earth and the universes and the billions and billions of stars, and they're sending spacecraft down now, out into the universe. There is nobody like him. He cannot be dethroned. He cannot be overcome. He cannot be bettered. He is God. His perfection, his holiness, he's beautiful. He's splendiferous. Wow. Yes. He's incredible. This is the God that we serve. Jeremiah 32 verse 17 says, our sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth by your great power and outstretched arm. Nothing is too hard for thee. There was a song in the 80s. Is there anything too hard? Mark 10 verse 27. Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. He is able because he has all the power and all authority. So your little life and your problems and your difficulties and the things that you're facing are nothing compared to the supreme nature and power that God has. And that you can tap into that. And you're a child. We read in that, I'm chosen, I'm free, I'm chosen by God. I now bear his name. I'm a Christian. I'm no longer alone. I'm going into this world fully protected, fully empowered. I'm going out with a different attitude, mindset, philosophy, and relationship to the rest of the world. It's amazing. He's able because he has all power and authority. Hebrews 7 verse 25 says, therefore he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. He is able to save. And thinking about this, I was thinking, it's just incredible. God's power doesn't diminish and fade away and fade off. His power is consistent forever. Forever he's able to do miracles. Forever he's able to save. Forever he's able to do what he says in his word. It's not like, well, you know, we're 30 years down the line and, you know, the battery's getting a bit low. And, you know, it's consistent. It's powerful. That's the God that we serve. The same yesterday, today, and forever. He is able. He's powerful. Hebrews 2 verse 18. Because he himself suffered when he was tempted, he is able to help those that are being tempted. He is able to help those that are struggling. He is able to forgive. He is able to show mercy constantly. So do you need a miracle today? I need a miracle. And it's just, I need a miracle just to know God's presence. Every single day, I need his mercy, don't you? Yeah. If you don't realize you need his mercy, then you need to get saved. We need his mercy. We need his forgiveness. We need his salvation day upon day upon day. And he's able to do it because of who he is, his character and his nature, and because his word says that he will do it. Philippians 3, verse 21. Who, by the power that enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that we will be like his glorious body. He's able to bring everything under control. There is nothing that's beyond his ability to control. So your life is secure. Going into 2020, you do not need to fear. You do not need to fear. Because God is with you. And he is able. You do not need to let fear and anxiety control your life. Isn't that amazing? Because you can put your trust in an unfailing God, a God who is able. But you know, we need to hand over the control of our life to him. Just quickly, it says, the second part of Ephesians 3 verse 20 says that he is able, and then it says to do abundantly above all that we can ask. And that word abundantly means, and I just a few things, it means exceeding some number or measure or rank or need. It's above and beyond. This is the idea of what exceedingly abundantly means. It's more than is necessary. It's considerable excess. Considerable excess over what would be expected. It's extreme, and it's extreme to a degree. That's what abundance is. It's over and above. It's extreme grace, extreme love, extreme goodness of God. And that's our God, isn't it? That we worship. So is he able? He is. He is able to do it. He's able to do all that we could ask or think. He's able to do above what we could ask or think. He is able to do abundantly above all that we can ask or think. He is able to do exceedingly abundantly all that we are asked, over and above. So often I think that we put God in a box and we limit what he can do. When I read scriptures like this and I think, wow. Actually, we see a part of what you want to do, but God's got some amazing visions, ideas, dreams for every single one of us of what he wants us to do. So when the enemy comes to your door, you know, the enemy is coming upon Christians and he's coming upon his church and he's knocking at the door. We live in a broken world, but guys, God is here to heal this world. And you know what? He's going to use his secret agents. Hopefully we're not too secret. But he wants us to use all of us, filled and anointed with the power of the Holy Spirit, to go out there and to bring and extend and advance his kingdom. God is in the process and the mission of bringing healing and transformation to the world. And he wants to do it through us corporately as a church, but he wants us to do it in our own individual settings when we're at work. Or wherever we are, bringing the life of Jesus to people. God wants to restore people. He wants to bring hope, to change lives, to bring peace, change perspectives, bring transformation, totally and completely renew people's lives. Isn't that what we have experienced? And that's what God wants to do in and through us. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. But I've come that they may have life and have it to the full. So that's God's plan for our life in 2020. That he wants us to have life and life in abundance, life to the full. You know, we have an enemy that is opposing the kingdom of God in all different ways for moving forward. The enemy is coming to influence people to redefine what is precious to God. Things like marriage, gender, all that whole kind of realm that's going on at the moment. The things that God holds dearly and are precious to him. The enemy is coming and wants to bring lies to change the purity and the holiness of what God says that he can bless and loves. So God's got a mission and calling for us, isn't he? He really has. But we have to recognize, actually, that the enemy is coming to knock at our door. But we are going to say, when he comes knocking, God is able. God is able. He's more than enough. God is able to give you strength. Is there anybody today who's thinking, oh, man, I'm just feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling like I need a miracle. God is able. God is able. God is able to change your situation in a moment. Isaiah 40, 28, 31 says, do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord, the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth, he will not grow tired or weary. And his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths will grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on the wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. Heard of a story of a grandfather who was staying with his daughter, and they had kids, and he walked into a room, and his grandson was in like a travel cot, you know, like he was in a playpen. I don't know what you call it. Travel cot, playpen. And anyway, the son cried, he said, Granddad, out! Meaning, can you take me out? So the grandfather reached down and lifted him out. He couldn't resist it. You can imagine the little kid's cute face looking at his granddad. And as he reached down and took the baby out, his mum walked in and she said, can you put him back? He's being punished. So he's in there for a reason. And so the granddad thought to himself, "I, what am I going to do here? And instead of walking away or taking him out against the orders, he said, little guy, if you're in there, I'm going to come in there as well. And he climbed in, and love found a way to connect with that little boy. That's what God did, wasn't it? To us. God wants to deliver us from captivity, from the prison, from the difficulties, the challenges, the stuff that he didn't just walk away, but he said, actually, I see where you are. I'm going to come and I'm going to be with you. And it's amazing that we trust in a God who went through so many difficulties and trials and problems. And he's not far from challenges and hurts and difficulties, because he suffered enough. The holy God who left heaven to come down to earth suffered so much on our behalf. Yet he made that decision to do it. And I love the fact that we worship a God that isn't distant from difficulties and the challenges that we go through. Just going to take another couple of minutes and then we'll wrap up. When you need victory, God is able to see you through. Maybe you are sitting here thinking that there were so many battles that I went through last year that actually I gave into, or Satan somehow had victory in my life. Jude 1, 24 says, now to him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. Danny was saying earlier, let's not harp on or remember or keep going back to the things this last year where we failed, or maybe we felt that we gave an opening to the enemy. Because the reality is that when we ask God's forgiveness, he is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so many of us are held back by stuff that happened last year, or 1980, or 1970, or 1965, or whatever it was, back there in the day. I remember when this thing happened. But you know, God, I'm absolutely convinced, doesn't want us to be held back by those things. He's faithful and just to forgive us. Let's take him at his word. That's what he did upon the cross, to take that sin on our behalf. He is able. He's able to present you faultless before his presence with great joy. There was a story, and I'll just draw to a close. Martin Luther spent 3 days in black depression over something that he did wrong. On the third day, his wife came downstairs dressed in black, in mourning. He looked at her, confused. He said to her, "Who's dead?" She said, "God." Luther rebuked her and said, "What do you mean? God is dead? How can God be dead? God cannot die." "Well," she said, "the way that you're acting, it seems like he is." Life is not hopeless. Jesus made life possible to live full of hope, with expectation, with joy, freedom. "I'm chosen. I'm free." It's amazing what God has in store for us. God isn't dead. He's won the battle. Jesus has won the victory for us. So guys, believe it. As we go into this new year, we're going from an aspect of Jesus has won the battle. And we know it, don't we, in theory. But so often, we might be walking around like, you know, defeated. "What's wrong with you?" "Oh, just going through a bad day." Come on. God's not dead. He's overcome. He did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves. He overcame death and rose again so we can be free. God is able. Is God able? He's able to do it. And he's not able to just do it for somebody else that's more special and more lovely than you. He's able to do it for you, for your situation, for your context. So, just winding up. Whatever it is, remember that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we could ask or think. And it's God who's going to do it by the power of the Holy Spirit that lives in us. We don't have to go out and look for this power. Where is it? God's given his Spirit to us. This new year, let's come to God and be purposeful about what we speak about, our confession, about spending time with God, making it a priority every day. 12 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, an hour. Come on. Let you be the one that takes control of your life rather than just the chaos and the busyness of life around. Let's take control of our life and let's put Jesus right back at the center. Let's believe that God is able, that he's able to do above what we think we're able to do. Let's get out of the way and say, "God, you're able to do above what I can think, ask, or imagine." Let's allow God to work within us to bring victory in situations that we find ourselves in. When we find ourselves in those challenging situations, let's submit ourselves to God. Don't try and work it out on our own. God, you're able. I need your enabling. I need your power. I need you to come through for me. Why don't we today, beginning of our new year, a clean sheet. I quite like the idea of that. Beginning of a new year, clean sheet ahead. Why don't we today devote ourselves afresh to him for all that he wants to do in and through us. And let's make some time just for a few minutes. You know, maybe there are people that are carrying hurts, probably a lot of people carrying regrets. I should have done this, or I let myself down, or I let God down, or I did this. Probably all of us in some way have regrets. Things that we could have done better, or things that, you know, let's spend some time We can pray for one another. We can allow the Spirit of God to move. But my prayer is that this year there is going to be a lot more of God is able. Therefore, we can do it. It's possible. Could we do that?
Yes.
That's a great confession. That's a great thing for us to testify. So I'm believing we're going to see a lot more people saved. We're going to see a lot more breakthroughs. We're going to see greater victories. And that God will get the glory for what he does in us. That's what I so desire to see. That God will do something so wonderful and powerful and beautiful in each of us. That he will get the glory for his sacrifice and for what he has done. For his, that his plan and purpose will come about to beautify and strengthen his church.